We get saved, that's the first thing. And you and I as believers, why? It's a little bit different because we're not coming to Christ to get saved, but we're coming to Christ simply to grow in Him, in His ways.
Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Four Square Church. It's Sunday, October 29th, 2023. Pastor Zoni is speaking. Today's message is entitled, Hunger and Thirst After Righteousness. And our text comes to us from Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. And now, here's Pastor Zoni.
We're in the Beatitudes. And we are in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. So let's see it up there. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Let's do it again. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. May the Lord bless the reading of His word. This, I have some allergies, so bear with me. When I read the Beatitudes, I find that the Lord is telling all of us that every deficiency that we may have as human beings does not block God's purpose and direction and blessing in your life. Again, I marvel at verse 23 through the end of the chapter 4. The people Jesus was addressing, the sick and the lame and the blind and the halt and the demon-possessed. I mean, just look at that crowd. And that's the crowd that Jesus teaches the Sermon on the Mount. I mean, it's uncanny because you would think that God would want to choose people who are already put all right, that would have the conditions that, no. He looks at an army of men and women who, by all accounts, are not blessed. They're not blessed. And yet, there is no human condition that excludes the blessings of God. Think of that. Years ago, when I was developing my attributes as an evangelist, I don't know if all of us have been evangelists at one time, those were in the ministry. I don't know if Dr. Darino was an evangelist once, but I know I was. And of course, you know, they say, go, you know, pastors say, oh, you have a call, go, you know, and see what you do, you know. Like one time, my ex-pastor said to me, I'm glad God called you to the ministry, but there's only one room for one pastor in this church. If you don't know what that means, it means arrivederci. And so I went to Guatemala, and then after I wrote the book and all that stuff, he said to me, I guess I really wasn't your true mentor, was I? I said, no, you kicked me out of the church. But anyway, that's another thing. But it's amazing how God in so many ways works in our lives in spite of other people's concept or comment about you, about ourselves. God can come to any person with care and blessings. You know, it says God helps those who can't help themselves, you know. Well, I just want you to know that if you cannot help yourself, God has the ability to help you. And He wants you. He wants to help you. He wants to bless you. And this beatitude is very special because it speaks about people who have a desire in their hearts to make things right. If you hunger and thirst after righteousness, you have a good opportunity to be blessed by being filled. And the hunger for righteousness, the hunger for the thirst, it may very well be for something wrong inside of you that you wish you could fix. I can think of a couple myself, but this is not a confessionary. And it could also be because inside of me, I feel I have failed badly. Because inside of me, I cringe. Here we go. Over the hidden sins of our lives. Things that we know are not right. And inwardly, there is this cry that says, oh God, help me. Paul, in chapter 7 of the book of Romans, says, the things that I want to do, I don't do, and the things that I do, I don't want to do. And this is constant battle between the flesh and the spirit. And there's this hunger and this call for things to be made right in our heart. But there's also another way of understanding this cry, and we'll get to it with details. But I want you also to know is that sometimes we have been wrongly done. We have suffered some terrible injustice. And I know some people who are consumed with issues in their lives. Thank you, Ralph, before I burn in here. And I thought it was me. Sometimes we've gone through some very hard times in our life, and we wonder if it's ever going to get resolved. And we are longing to see that injury set right. Not vengeance, but set it right. And somebody said that the chemistry of the kingdom of God is such that you enter into that dimension of God's kingdom, which means, Lord, work in my life, that God, listen to me, can transform your past. This is what I'm saying. He can transform your past. He can suit it in such a way that you see it from his perspective in blessing you and strengthening you and making you into the person you are to become with his help. Nothing can prevent you from the blessing of God when you seek it. Did I say that right? Well, anyway, you guys are kind of sleeping this morning, so. But look at the irretrievable losses, as so we think, irretrievable. Experiences that are significant in our life. But in the eyes of God, they're insignificant because God can do all things. He transforms your present by looking at your past and redoing it. How? I have no idea how he does it. But he does. And I think the best proof is peace comes over your heart in a way that you no longer remember the effects of yesterday with hurt, but with, to a degree of just, you're bewildered that which offended you so much yesterday, today, you don't think about it. Oh, well. So we're talking about blessed are those who have a thirst for righteousness and hunger and thirst for righteousness. And we look at this whole concept of hunger and thirst. And this is, Jesus says, this is one of the deepest desires that every person ought to engage. You ought to be hungry for God to set things right. It's the prompting of the Holy Spirit in your life that first leads you to salvation, because you have tried to live your way and it just doesn't add up. But then you come to Christ. And then after you come to Christ, your only ambition after you know Christ is for him to be fill you in every area of your life. Again, salvation is coming to Christ and your sins being forgiven. But that's not the end. You don't check in with the Lord when you die. Oops, got the box checked in. No, it's a continuous walk with him, filling every area of your life. We said it several times. You have your own kingdom, and that's you, what you do and what you want to do, and then you have God's kingdom. And when you say, Lord, let your will be done, I'm entering into that dimension where God's kingdom begins to rule over my life with me working together. But God does amazing things, invisible, amazing things. and you're missing out. You're trying to resolve your problem with your own kingdom power, and your kingdom power is minuscule as you compare it, if you could, to the kingdom of God and his resources. Lord, I got this issue in my life. How do I resolve it? Would you help me, Lord? And the Lord says, what a question. Of course, this is what I'm here for. I'm here for you to have a blessed life. Walking with God's a blessed life. So my question to you today, do you hunger for things to be set right? So here is the group of people God is, the Lord Jesus is calling. I guess the Lord was speaking to grumpy people. They were hungry for things to be set right. So in their hearts, things were wrong. And yet God says, that's good, come. Come. Come, bring it on. God is not afraid of your issues. God can take care of everything that goes on in your life and even more. The American Independent talks about the pursuit of happiness, right? And I love this country. This is my adopted country, and I thank the Lord for all the wonderful things that we've experienced in the years that I've been here as an immigrant. And I think it's still the land of opportunity. It gives you a platform that you cannot find in other countries around the world. But you need to know that you have to pursue happiness. It doesn't guarantee it. It just gives you the ability to pursue it, or gives you the platform to pursue it. I want you to know that it's beyond the power of this government to make me happy, especially at tax time. And by that, I don't mean once a year. I mean every time I go to the pump. You know, just not that long ago, I used to fill up my car with $45. You don't want to know what it costs me now. But I guess you know how much, because yourself, you know. All of a sudden, $103. Said something must be wrong with the pump. No, it's something is wrong with the price. Anyway. But many of us try to pursue happiness. And sadly enough, we pursue it in the wrong way, or we pursue the wrong happiness, because it does not give us the happiness that only Christ can give. To be happy is to be truly blessed. It's the only way to be happy, to be blessed by God. And is the only way to be blessed is to pursue that blessing with a hunger for things to be set right. Hunger and thirst. Just like, we need physical food to keep this body going, our spirit needs to have that pursuit. And you need to pursue that. It's a spiritual necessity to want things to go right in your life. You don't want to entertain things that are wrong. You want to entertain that which is good and wholesome and blessing. And so when the enemy comes to the door, and it could be the world, it could be the flesh, it could be the devil, but it's usually the flesh and the world. The devil doesn't mess around too much with us here and there, but it's usually the flesh. You need to say, no, I am pursuing God's way in my life. Lord, how do I resolve this? I tell you what, your desire is to replace sin in your life with virtue. A disobedience to sin. And your desire is to be obedient to God's voice in your heart as you live every day of your life. You won't hit 100%, but at least you can hit 20%. I'm being generous this morning. There is an alternative to do things wrong in your life, is to do things right. And when you hunger for things to be right, then you will find out that just as your body is good when you feed it, your soul will be good when you feed it spiritual obedience to the things that God speaks to you. Well, so it's a call of God for hunger and thirst. And some people have said it's a progression of the Beatitudes, because the first three Beatitudes that we looked at, the fourth one speaks about poverty of spirit. which means we turn away from self-seeking. Then on the morning one, morning, we turn away from self-satisfaction. And in meekness, we turn away from self-serving. But in this one, we seek righteousness. We seek God's way of doing things in our life. So this fourth beatitude is very positive because it tells us that you don't necessarily at this moment have to put away sin or self or power, but just turn to the Lord and say, Lord, let's get this thing in my life right. You're all jumping up and down here. You know, those who are seeing us through Facebook, you're missing a great show here. I have never faced in my life life-threatening hunger and thirst. Never. I never have. Sometimes what we call hunger is because we missed a meal. Or instead of eating at 1 hour, we eat later on. And just like it's a very warm day and I'm so thirsty, I'm going to die. No, within 20 minutes, you're drinking something, you know. And the intensity that Jesus speaks about is real intensity of spirit. David said, Oh God, thou art my God. And he continued to say, I shall seek thee earnestly. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh yearns for thee in a dry and weary land where there is no water. There comes a time in all of our lives. Listen very carefully. I better go here. Listen very carefully. There's going to come a time when dryness will show up. And that's reality. And you know what? Reality, you know how you know reality? When it hits you in the face. And you know the reality and truth don't budge. They don't modify it themselves. Truth is truth. It's there. You can't tweak it. So David, who was a man who knew God, but he also knew his life was just really, really problematic. He was a murderer. He was an adulterer. He was a pretty guy. I mean, the guy, he had great qualities, but in the midst of all that package, those areas were there that he needed to bring to God. And all of us have that in our lives. None of us are free from sin. And if you are, throw the first stone. So David comes to him and says, Oh, Lord, I look at this area of my life now. I'm thirsting for you. To quench the thirst. I'm seeking you, Lord. I want the hunger to cease. Paul had the same way. Paul knew God in a wonderful way, but in Philippians 3, 9 through 10 says that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. There was this quest in the life of Paul to know him, to go deep in his walk with the Lord. This hunger for righteousness, which is God's way of living, God's way of showing up in my life and me living correctly in his presence. It's not just theory. It's practice. It's not just a creed. It's not just a dogma. It's the application of God's word in your life, in daily living. Peter, the same thing. He tells everybody, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is this development that often we don't follow through. And the Beatitudes tells us, come with thirst and come with hunger. Come with all the issues that you have and you will be fulfillment. You will be fulfilled. You will be filled. You will be touched. I will work in your life. The blessedness comes when we come to the Lord with this desire for him to intervene in our lives. So we have hunger because we need, and we get saved, that's the first thing. And you and I as believers, why? It's a little bit different because we're not coming to Christ to get saved, but we're coming to Christ simply to grow in him, in his ways. And this is so important because that's why we should be hungry, so we can grow. Because if we're not hungry, we are not going to eat. We're not going to drink if we're not thirsty. And I want you to know that none of us make it in this earth, in this life. In the sense that none of us are perfect. We need perfection, but that comes in heaven. Between now and then, we discover that there are things in our life that need to be set right. And when you discover those things, not with impunity, not with vengeance, or not with the wrath of God, but with the goodness of God that leads you to repentance, you bring to him and say, "Oh, Lord, I did not know I had a grudge against so-and-so." Or better yet, you might have said, "Lord, you know that I never cared for that person." And you discover this secret caverns in your life, and those things that need adjustment. Someone call it a tune-up. Sometimes it's an overhaul. And you hunger. There's really no greater experience in life than to identify those things that are not right in our lives and bring them to the Lord and say, "Lord, have your way in my life. Lord, have your way in my life." So children of the kingdom of God, never stop needing the touch of God. There's always going to be an area of thirst. There's always going to be hungering for God's life to be developed and shown and exercised. There's never a moment when you're not able to come to him. And Paul prayed to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 9 through 10. He says, I'm praying that your love might abound still more and more in real knowledge and discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say something now that I think you need to catch, please. Look at this. Paul says, "I want your love to abound." But abound, how do you really love? You love in real knowledge and discernment. I discovered a long time ago that God is interested in my knowledge base. My knowledge base is very important. And it doesn't say anything here about abound still more and more in faith. He says, in real knowledge. And this is the foundation of our knowledge. The Bible is knowledge. What this book contains, you cannot find anywhere else. If I wanted to learn chemistry, I don't know the literature, but I would have go to someone who knows about chemistry, and I would read that book about chemistry, and then I would know the authority of chemistry. But the knowledge that the Lord wants you and I to have is found in this book. And this is real knowledge you can take to the bank. One of the problems we have in our country today is that our country was founded on Christian principles. We knew what God wanted and what God is, and we based our law system, jurisprudence system, in the Bible, Ten Commandments. Why are we having so much trouble today? There is no basis to understand the moral knowledge that the Bible evokes, and it permeates the judicial system. I gotta be careful here. Judicial system, and it's absent, and because that foundation is not there, people can change things around, because now it's not up to what the law says that's founded and grounded in the scripture, but it's what the people say. Oh, big difference. We'll have a discussion. Why are we having problems in campuses all over the United States today? Because those kids have been taught to exclude God from their lives. Curriculums don't talk about this foundation. Used to be with a foundation. I was privileged to come to the States when teachers still prayed and read the Bible in school, public school. You go to jail now. Well, I don't know if you go to jail. But I remember sitting in sixth grade with Mrs. Gleason. We all remember our sixth grade teacher, don't we? You don't? Okay, well, I do. And she said, as we started the day, she says, as we start our day, let us read a psalm. I was flabbergasted that they would read the Bible in the school. I come from Argentina, where, not the Bible. No, I don't want to go into the things that went on. I don't want to digress. And she read the Bible. And then after she read the Bible, she prayed for us all. The most beautiful sixth grade experience of my life. Today, that doesn't happen. Because the foundation, the knowledge-based foundation, the foundation for God's word, the knowledge that permeated this country is no longer available to the young kids who go to public school. They've excluded God. Watch out, because this is Romans chapter 1. Knowing God, they kick God out. And this is what we got today. How did I get there? Well, because Paul says that we have to grow in the knowledge. We can only love one another when we have the knowledge of God. Okay. Hello. So why do I want to have the spiritual hunger in my heart, and why do I really want to, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? And well, I first of all, for salvation, when you come to Christ, you that goal is wonderful. But I want to emphasize that the believer, you and me, the object of hungering and thirsting is to grow in righteousness, right conduct. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's trusting the Lord and moving with the Lord and saying, Lord, you be my avenger. You be the one to set things straight inside of me and out there. Let me tell you, I've had some doozies. Dr. Reno and I work together in the academy, and we know what the academy is all about. Let me just tell you, the academy sometimes can be quite difficult. And those difficulties come, and you sometimes wonder how it's going to get resolved. But guess what? You have your job, don't you? And in your job, you have issues that how in the world am I going to get this resolved? But the Lord works in my life, in my job, at the university, at the church. God works the same way in your setting. I don't care what you do. If you stay home all day, you still got issues to resolve. And the Lord is there to do that. And I want you to know that you and I need to know that God's availability is there so that you and I can receive righteousness, guidance, and that he set things right in your life and in my life. Ustedes están tan serios que parece que estoy en un funeral. Peor que un funeral, porque en los funerales nos divertimos. So it's a paradox that we come to Christ and he begins to fill us at that moment with his joy. And then all of a sudden the next day it's like, is there more? And he says, there's more for you. And every day with Jesus is better than the one before. Every day with Jesus, he's sweeter than the day before. There's this constant moving of God satisfying the thirst and the hunger of our hearts. It's like, well, do you like pie? Cherry pie? My favorite. I don't eat it. But I love steaks. But I mean good steaks. And when I can afford it, prime. New York. Thick, on the grill, cook slowly. I devour it. And the funny thing about it is that I love it. See, it's like the Lord blessing you, right? And it was good at that moment, but the next day I want another one. That's how God works in your life. He satisfies your hunger, but he keeps allowing you to hunger after him because there's another steak coming. I think that's what I'm going to have after. Always wanting more from God because he knows how to set things right. Because he knows how to console our hearts. He knows how to strengthen the inner person. And I want to have more of him. I want to eat more of what he has to give me. I want to drink more of what he offers for me to drink. Because when you genuinely thirst after God, you will be satisfied. And you won't be weak. Five marks, five ways in which you know if you really are looking or testing, or a test for spiritual hunger. The first thing is this. This is when, if you're in the business of quenching your thirst, if you're in the business of allowing God to do the work for you, of saying, Lord, I've tried, but this boss of mine is awful. Lord, I tried in this business and I'm not really making it well. Or shall we say, a family member is out of whack. And you bring that to the Lord in prayer. And when you do that, here are five things. First of all, if you're really wanting God to enter into your life and enter into your issues and quench that thirst for setting things right in your life, the first thing is you need to be dissatisfied with yourself. To say, I cannot fix this myself. Because when you're pleased with your own righteousness, when you're pleased with your own ways of doing things, you will see no need of God. Oh, I can fix this. I don't need God here. You don't say it maybe that bluntly, but your actions speak louder than your words. And you carry your life like you're your own king. And you are. Unless you give the Lord that place. Yeah. So if you hunger after righteousness, you need to be dissatisfied with what you can do. Let me tell you, there are moments in your life where you'll get there and you'll be so thrilled to know that the answer to the issues of your life correlate with God's blessingness and wanting to bless you. Second thing is, you will be free from depending on other people or other things to satisfy you. Sister Cora, I mention her from the pulpit often. Well, not often, but enough for those who remember Sister Cora, who died of cervical cancer many, many years ago. But she was wonderful here in the church. And she one time spoke and said, people tell me, I want to get married because I want to be satisfied. And she said, only Jesus satisfies. Let me just say this to you. You got to understand you cannot depend on anything or anybody else but depend on the Lord. When you say the Lord is the one that's going to take care of this. Because it's true. It's absolutely true. And she went on to say, I got married and I thought my worries were over and they were just beginning. Only Jesus satisfies. So you don't depend on something out there to bring to you the righteousness or the way of living, the way of behaving that only God can do. Third thing, this is very important. You need to have some sort of craving for God's word. I don't know how to make this thing clear to you because I keep saying it. But this is the basic spiritual food that the Lord provides for all his children. So it gives you something to do, by the way. And what you simply do is read God's word. Start reading. Hey, start reading and let it rip. Let me tell you what I'm saying. Just start reading. Because you enter into his domain, into his kingdom. You're hearing the words of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And you're drinking from a fountain that will never run dry. But we take reading the Bible as, well, you know, I've got nothing else to do. There's no TV. Or like somebody said, well, I read the Bible in commercial times. Well, do it. Hey, it's a start. You nibble at it. You can have a full meal. So you need to have this craving for the word. A hungry man does not have to be begged to eat. If you're hungry, you're going to eat. Some of us are not desperate enough because we're still not fully dissatisfied with self. Well, anyway, Jeremiah says, thy words were found, and I ate them. And thy words became for me a joy and a delight to my heart. You let the Lord give you the surprise of your life. When you read the word in a moment of starvation and you eat that, I'm telling you, it will kick joy into your heart so hard you won't know what happened to you. You're miserable because you want to. I shouldn't have said that, but. So, dissatisfaction with self and freedom from dependence, craving for the word. I like this next one. You feel comfortable. You feel pleasant of the things of God. Like you come to church. And, you know, for all intended purposes, church means the gathering of people. And though I appreciate the medium that we have in Facebook and all those other things, that's not replace coming together. Because I've said it before, this is not a show. I don't know how to do a show on TV. I don't have the equipment, the luster, the desire, nothing. This is preaching the word of God, presenting the word of God to the flock that is here. So if you're watching us through this medium and you cannot make it here because of situations, I understand. But some of you are still worshiping God in your pajamas. Hey, COVID ended. And yeah, we have another, you know, I guess we're waiting for each year, you know, a new version of COVID, you know. But you need to get yourself over here to church. You need to have a desire to be among God's people. John says that those of us who are saved love the gathering of the people. Now, let me just tell you something. The people who come together are just as difficult as you are. So you will be in good company. And the last one that I mentioned is a final mark of true spiritual hunger is unconditionality. In other words, when we are genuinely seeking God, we make no conditions. You make no deals with God. You will accept and seek God's way in your life in whichever way he chooses to work with you, and you will obey his commandments no matter how demanding they may be. Lord, not my will, but thy be done. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Because our time is gone. So, let me just say the thing. When you seek God, please don't misunderstand. God will meet all your needs, but spiritually hungry and spiritually thirsty people do not necessarily ask God for Christ and a new Cadillac or a Beamer or whatever. We don't do that. We don't want Christ and personal satisfaction that we ourselves manufacture. We're not looking for Christ and personality, popularity. Christ and something else. No, we only want Christ to come into our lives because he will give us his wisdom, his love, and his sovereign touch upon us, and everything we need will be satisfied right there. So may I pray with you, may I pray with you, may we all pray together. Psalms 119, verse 20, which is simply this. At night, my soul longs for thee. Indeed, my spirit within me seeks thee diligently. We so pray, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
Will you stand with me, please? And I'm going to try to sing a cappella. But no, the Lord will deliver you promptly. But there's nothing more important than to have a heart that seeks God. Nothing. There's nothing more important than to have a thirst for God. There's nothing more important than to know that God will be the one doing it for you, and that there is room for all of us wretched human beings. Blessed are those who are hungry, those who are incomplete, those who are do not measure up, those who are below standard, those who can't make it on their own, because, oh, yeah, you will be filled. I forgot to tell you that. But you will be filled. The Lord will take care of it. The Lord will give you peace with your enemies. The Lord will set the record straight. But that's his business. How he does it, I don't know, but he does it. If you have not practiced solitude and silence before the Lord, oh, you're missing out. Take 20 minutes this week, just 20 minutes. Find a place where you can sit all by yourself, far away from human voices. Maybe next to the garden, maybe you can hear the birds singing, and maybe you can see the trees moving and the flowers and rejoice in the beauty of God's creation. That's God's presence for you. And just sit there and say, Lord, I'm here because I need you to touch my life. And Lord, just minister to me. And then shut up. Just be silent. Yeah, you're not missing out. You're in the presence of the Lord. You're basking in the presence of the Lord. And I don't know how, but within hours, within a couple of days, 3 days, 4 days, all of a sudden things change. And you say, what happened? It was the Lord that's working in your life. Because God moves in mysterious ways. And that's true. And that's true. Like my aunt, who was a Catholic nun, said to me, "El misterio de la vida, mystery of life." And it was true. God works in your life. So be hungry for God and let the Lord minister to you. Okay, go ahead.
Something beautiful, something good.
Isn't that true?
All of my confusion.
Isn't that true?
He understood all I had to offer him was brokenness and strife, but he made something beautiful of my life. Brokenness.
that your testimony today? Took your life and made something beautiful out of it. All right, church, this is the day that the Lord hath made.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet one another in the love of the Lord. You're dismissed this morning.
We're so glad you were able to join us today. If you would like to see the service with the worship time included, please visit our Facebook page. If you would like more information about our church, you can check out our website at www.bbfoursquare.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God bless. See you next week.